Okay. Tonight's lesson is Light, God's Plan. Now, on the screen here, those who can't see the screen, I apologize. What is this over here? The menorah. Do you know what this is? Hanukkah. Okay. What's the difference between that one and this one? What else? What else?
It's not gold.
What else? These are candles. These were oil.
That's right.
There weren't candles on the menorah. It was oil. What's the oil a symbol of? The Holy Spirit. Okay. This is called the helper or the servant candle, the middle one. It's not one of the 8 days. It's lit, and then you light the first one. And so the first night, this one and this one are lit. The next night, this one is lit, and you light the second one and then the first one. The third night, the center one's lit, and then you light the third one, the second one, the first one, until you get all 8 of them. And what's the reason for Hanukkah? What was the purpose? What was the celebration?
The divine light.
We'll probably talk on it. Phil will talk on it more on Sunday night. So we're not going to go into the Hanukkah piece, the Hanukkah portion of this, but I want you to understand everything that I wanted to put in here all was about Hanukkah, and I can't because I know he's going to be teaching on it. And I want to hear it from him because I would be teaching from the outside looking in, and he's teaching from the inside looking out. He's lived it. I haven't. So we're going to be talking more about light in relation to the menorah, because the Hanukkah candles are to celebrate God keeping the oil going for the 8 days until they could create more oil after the temple was consecrated, because it'd been defiled. And so the light in there kept burning for the whole 8 days that they were busy purifying the oil and getting it ready per God's commands. And so God honored their diligence by supernaturally keeping it lit. And so that's what Hanukkah is about. But that's even a bigger picture of what we're going to talk about tonight, which is one small aspect of this that I hope adds to what Phil's going to speak on, because I'm not speaking on Hanukkah per se. So I want to start with the first scripture that I want is Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. If you read the other verses, it says that God, the earth was without form and void. There was waters. God said, "Let there be light," before he separated anything else, before he made anything else. Let there be light. He stepped out into eternity and said, "Light be," or "light was," and "it was," or "light is." I'm not sure the exact phrase because I've heard different ones, but he proclaimed light and it happened. On the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon and the stars. He made light without anything to make light. He didn't make the sun, okay, now there's light, now I'm going to go on. That wasn't until the fourth day. So God started with light. There must be an importance to it in his word. This is our season of lights. It's a season of Christmas lights, Hanukkah lights. We have lights on the wreath. We have lights on the tree. You can go down to the plaza and see the whole place lit up. You drive through your neighborhood, people have lights up. You go to the stores and they've decorated with the greenery and the lights, and it's all twinkling and dazzling. We sing about lights and silver bells and all these different things at the Christmas time. This is a season of lights. When you think of lights, you think of the Christmas season. Sometimes it's the lights on the cash register, but you think about the Christmas season. What about the light in the eyes of an anxious child wanting to know if he's going to get, he or she's going to get the gifts that they've asked for? God created this world starting with light. I want to read something that I read off the internet about Genesis 1:3, and it says, if there ever actually was anything like a Big Bang, this was it. When all the matter and energy of the universe was created instantly and from and through the Word of God, it's why the Apostle John says, and I don't have a slide for this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:1-5. John understood light. He understood the Word of God. He understood the Bereshit, which is the first portion of the Torah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He understood Messiah fitting into all of this, because he started his book, In the Beginning Was the Word. And he talks about creation. He was trying to say, folks, he was there. He was it. In the beginning, this same man I'm going to teach you about, I'm going to talk to you about, it was him. He's the light. John equates God's word with God. Same was in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God. And personifies the word with the pronoun him, because God's word is fullest as the expression of him. The psalmist gives us the same impression of the light of God's word when we look at Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words give light. God's word, when you read it, it illuminates to you. How many times have you read a scripture and it just hits you between the eyes like a 2x4, and it's something that changed your life from that moment on? It's called illumination. Revelation is when God shows you something that nobody else knew. Look at John the Revelator, the final book of our New Testament. That was stuff that God showed that you can find snippets in other prophecies, but it's the fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a revelation, something that wasn't known. But when it's already in the Word, it's already there, and it becomes something new in you, that's an illumination. What is light? It's illuminating. The light came alive in you for that verse. That's why if you listen to the Copelands, they tell you, do you have an issue with health? Go find every verse you can on healing. You have a issue with finances? Go find every verse you can on health, finances and prosperity. You have an issue with this sin or that sin or this issue or this problem or this trouble or this thing in your life? Search the scriptures and jot down every scripture you can find for that situation. And then confess them, read them, speak them until they come alive in you. That's what they're talking about. Let God's word just come alive and illuminate inside you, and you'll start being able to stand for that situation. Which leads us to Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. John the Baptist was looked at by many to see if he was the Messiah. They asked him constantly, are you him? Are you the prophet? Are you the one to come? He denied it. John pointed out the fact that John, the writer of the gospel, pointed out that John the Baptist was not the light. Jesus is. And in John 1:6-12, it says, there came a man sent from God. whose name was John. This man came to witness that he might testify of the light, that all men might believe in, adhere to, trust it, rely upon it through him. He was not the light himself, but came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was. The true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illuminates every person. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, creation, things, and world. And they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, privilege, and right to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. John was not the light, but he pointed to the light. He pointed out who Jesus was. Jesus didn't have to come in trumpeting, "Hey, look at me." God sent a man to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the light. He is the one. I must decrease that he must increase." If you read John's life, he was pointing out the light that he was holding up for others to see. Jesus is the light. Earlier, John said Jesus was the Word because he told us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know who that is. In John 1:5, it says, "And this is the message of promise, which we have heard from him and now are reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all." No, not in any way. That's 1 John 1:5. God is light. In him there is no darkness. So if John, the disciple, the apostle, wrote that Jesus is light, he's the light. And over here in his letter, in 1 John, he says God is light. Is he talking about two different people? He's talking about the Elohim. God in his entirety, in his Godhood, Godhead, the Trinity, they are light to mankind. If God the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are all one, then God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit is symbolized in the menorah through oil to keep the light burning. They are one. They are light. Ephesians 5, 6, 9 says, "Let no one delude and deceive you with empty excuses and groundless arguments for these sins. For through these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of rebellion and disobedience. So do not associate or be sharers with them." Here's why we should not be partaking with them. It says, "For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." I thought we just said that God is light, but now in Ephesians we're being told that we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Lead the lives of those native born to the light. For the fruit, the effect, the product of the light or the Spirit consists in every form of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. It says that we who were of darkness are now children of light. That we should walk as if we had been born in that light and never were in that darkness at all. None of the darkness gets to come with us. When God sets up the light in us, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that light turns on in us. The world should see light and never see our old manners, our old ways. God is saying that the fruit of that life is all forms of kindly goodness, uprightness of heart, and trueness of life. There should be fruit that people see, evidence they feel, light that they can understand in our lives. And if it is, we are actually portraying what God told us to do. Okay, if God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are light, how do we become light? According to this scripture, how do we become light? When we accept Christ into our life, His Spirit comes into us. Remember, it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. The light of God comes into us. And we become light that shouldn't be hid on under a bushel. We should be set on a hill that everyone could see us from afar. We are to walk as children of the light. Amen. Amen. Matthew 5:16 tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The reason we do what we do and we live the way we live is not to heap praise on us like Christ didn't heap praise on himself, but that we can point them to the Father. They see what we're doing and they know it's godly. They know that that attitude, that action, that spirit, that light that's coming out of you had to come from somewhere. Men just aren't that good. Women just aren't that good. You're a changed life because God came into you. And you can say, praise God for what he's doing in me. And they see the light. And God says that he uses his goodness to draw men to repentance. Do you get drawn to a sweet-smelling savor or to a repugnant odor? A sweet, savory smell goes, oh, somebody's baking cookies over here. Oh, that smells good. Oh, smells like my favorite cookies. Yeah, they're over there in the oven. I can't wait till they come out. I love them when they're warm. Or over here, like, is the sewer back up over here? I'm going the other way. Turn the fans on, get the Glade out, spray it, do whatever, close the doors. Do people get attracted to us because of what they see coming out of us or repelled? Let the light shine. And if the light's shining, you will have these things flowing in you. You will have people seeing what God's doing in you. And they'll glorify God for what he's done in you because they see the light. John 8:12 says, once more, Jesus addressed the crowd. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light, which is life. When you have everlasting life, you have asked Jesus into your life and your new spirit is alive. You've been born again. You don't walk in darkness anymore. There are people out there that are trying to mimic being a Christian by saying, okay, I know what Christ did for me and he's already done it, so all I got to do is believe it and accept it and go on. But they don't ever get to the point where they ask Jesus to take away their sins, ask Jesus to forgive them and say, God, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that my sins nailed Jesus to the cross. I thank you that you did that. I'm so grateful. And he, come in and forgive me of my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I confess you now as Lord. Salvation occurs. And when that happens, light starts happening. A buddy of mine, I'm still friends with him today. Back when I was in high school, he'd already dropped out of high school. I remember him from fourth grade. It's a long time. We're still friends on Facebook. He and I, it was back before either of us had cars, but he used to be demon-possessed. I was there when the demon was cast out of him. I saw the change. From before, the way he had been, to the way he was the moment after. And he became a great friend of mine after that. Before that, it was too dangerous to be around him. We would walk and talk, and he told me things. He goes, you know, I could tell when a Christian was coming towards me on the sidewalk. I said, how could you tell a Christian if it's nighttime and everybody's, you know, you can barely tell it's a person what they're wearing? He goes, I could tell and I would see that there was a Christian coming at me and I would cross the street to get away from him and go down the other sidewalk. I didn't want to be confronted by him. I said, how could you know? He said, I could see the light coming out of their eyes. From their spirit, I could see the light. Now, he knew because he was in darkness. He was possessed before that, and he knew, that's a Christian, I'm staying away. But he said, there's a light that comes out of a Christian. We're told about in the New Testament where they tried to say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, and the demons in him said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And then tore that person up. Because you can't mimic being a Christian when you're talking about the spiritual world. You can only mimic a Christian being a Christian around other Christians. But the spirit world knows. Because they can see the light. They know when something's real in there and when it's not. John 9:5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the world's light. Even though Jesus has gone on to heaven, his body, bride, his church is still here. And as long as we are still here, we are the world's light, him through us. The world should be saying, it's dark out there. There's a problem out there. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Oh, wait, let me call this person that I work with or I know lives down the street or I ran into at the store because they seem to have some answers. There was something about them. Let your light so shine so that people know to call you because you are the light. John 1:4-5 says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shines on in the darkness, for darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or apportioned it, and is unreceptive to it. The light can't, the darkness cannot put out the light that's in you. Only we can say, I'm putting a cover over my light, I'm covering it up. Getting in the mully grubs, as my old preacher used to say. Getting down and out. Only we cover it. The light shines. People that are in their darkest hour come to you and say, there's something about you. And you go, oh, why are they coming to me? I don't know all these Bible things. I don't know this. I don't know that. And I don't know enough. Oh, I wish my preacher was here. Or I wish somebody that comes to my church that seems no more. God gave you the light. Your spirit knows the word. Share your testimony. The enemy, the devil, is overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and that we've not loved our lives unto death. He doesn't say the word of the testimony of the church and that the church is a good place to be, got good meals, got good bathrooms, got good facilities, got good children's program, pick you up and carry you there in the church van. No, it's the word of the testimony of the believer. So let your light shine. Ephesians 1:18 says, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. The light should illuminate from your life and show you things of God you have not seen before. You should be going through here and coming into service saying, have you ever seen this verse? Have you ever seen what it says right here? I was reading this and it just hit me. And somebody says, yeah, I've read that verse many times. Well, there was a nugget for you. It was an illumination for you. Be happy. And for those that are having it shared with them, be happy with them. Because God's doing something in that person's life in that area. We should have all those. The word tells us that when you come together, everyone should have a song, a hymn, a psalm, a spiritual song, a testimony of the things God's doing because you're alive, you're light, you're life. God opens his book talking about light. And in Revelation, he talks about light. And there's a scripture in Revelation that I don't have here, how that the very city, the New Jerusalem, will not have a light, need a light, because Jesus himself will be the light, the illumination thereof. And we're going, light? We still use flashlights. I got one in my pocket. Use flashlights. Got headlights on the car. Have to turn the lights on in here because we don't glow that much. It's not talking about that kind of light. It's the light to other people's lives. But in that instance, in the New Jerusalem, he will be the physical illumination light. Won't need a night light. Won't need a dimmer. It'll be the light of Jesus. But in Revelations 4, 1 through 5, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Now, if you read the first three chapters of Revelation, it's the letters to the churches, the seven churches. And it's telling them about being ready, being prepared, get this out of you and do this, and if you do this, it'll be good. This is the first moment that you start seeing the church in heaven instead of on earth. So I looked and behold a door standing in heaven, and the voice which I'd heard addressing me like a war trumpet, a trumpet, sound familiar? Said, come up here. Many believe that this is the instance that John was raptured as a prophetic moment in his vision of when we will be raptured. But come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there was like a crystalline brightness of jasper and the fiery sardis, and encircling the throne, there was a halo that looked like a rainbow of emerald. 24 of the thrones surrounded the throne. Seated on these thrones were 24 elders, arrayed in white clothing with crowns of gold upon their heads. Out of the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Those seven torches, that's the menorah in heaven that Moses saw when God said, make these things on earth according to these patterns. They weren't just little flickering lights like we got a light over here that flickers. They were blazing. Because the Holy Spirit's there. The oil of God there. The light of God is there. They were blazing before the very throne of God. I just read you about a lot of different instances of light. And that's going to be at the throne of God in heaven. Dazzling brightness in the presence of God. Amen. As we go through this life, as we walk this earth, you are a menorah. Phil's taught us that. He taught on the menorah. We are the menorah. We are the light in this world because Christ is sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. And his light is in us because we're now children of light. We are the menorah in this world. We are the light in this world. Not our light, but his light in us. And think about it. As you're taking that light out into the world, who are you illuminating? How are you illuminating? Remember back in the pioneer days, think of Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett time, the families would have a little lantern that they would put some fire, some light in it from their fireplace, whatever, and it would shine on their pathway. But then when they got to church, they would get there and there was a ledge or there was a hook and they would hang it over on the wall and then sit down in their pews. And as more and more people came, it got more and more light because everybody was sharing their lanterns. And there was even an old gospel song that went, brighten the corner where you are. And it goes on. It's talking about when you're not there, your corner of the church is dark because you didn't bring your light. But when you come to service, bring the testimony, bring the song, because you're bringing your light. When you live your life, as you're going back to your home from the church, you're taking your light with you to illuminate out there what you received in here. Too many people want to go to church and be preached at, made to feel good, got my church on. I'm going to go home now and beat the other denominations to the buffet, get there before they put the second course out. Then I'm going to go home and sit down and watch me some football and go to sleep. Well, many times, I'm going to meddle here. When you go to the restaurant, you make all kinds of demands on the wait staff and figure, they get paid a wage. I don't need to pay them more. I just paid my tithe and don't pay a tip. Is your light shining in that situation where the waiter or the waitress is saying, I want to see those Christians come back? Or are the sinners giving better tips and they're saying, I'd rather have a whole truckload of sinners in here that are not church people than any cartload of church people, because I'm not going to get any tips. I'm not going to work myself to the bone for them. Let our light shine in all situations. Are we saying please and thank you? Are we saying thank you and have a nice day to the people at the checkout stand at the grocery store? The person that offers to take your cart to the car for you? Brings your groceries to your door? It's a new deal. Call and go online, put your order in and bring it to the door. Or your pizza delivery guy? He works for a living. Are you letting your light shine with your pocketbook? I know that's all meddling, but it's practical. If we're not doing it in the least of these things, are we doing it in the greater? How can we stand up and give our testimony to the world when someone says, I waited on them last week at this other restaurant that I work at, and they left me nothing. It took me forever to clean their table up because I was carrying food to them like nobody's business, and then there was no tip, and I only make what I make. God wants our light. Otherwise, Jesus has to get up off the throne and come back down here. But see, he left us to shine the light. He doesn't ask you to be a blazing torch if all you've got is a candle. Be the candle. Be the best candle you can be. And let God grow you into that blazing torch. Don't try to burn up quickly. Be who God made you to be, because he's got people he wants you to reach and you to reach and me to reach. That's why we were born this time in our lives, this time in history, is because there's people out there that we can reach. And he had them born at this time too. Be a light. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit make up light, because God is light. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead came into you when you said yes to Jesus. And guess what? You became children of light. That is God's plan. Amen. Amen. Let's do the Brachit Konim.
Yaradanai panav elecha vechunecha. Yesa Adonai panav elecha v'sham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen.